Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm very excited about Paula Lovell being here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Paula is a longtime Brain Trust member going back to 1999. She's already been with us more than 11 years as a member of our Brain Trust. Couldn't do without her. She's taught us so many things over the years on public relations, communications, marketing. That's the world that she lives in and works in. She runs a small business owner just like you and me. She's a highly respected business owner, someone as I do, as I have mentioned before. And she is the president, the founder of Lovell Communications in the great city of Nashville, Tennessee. Paula Lovell, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, Paula. And I know one of the things you want to talk about today is something about women being leaders.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Women being leaders? You want to talk about that?
That's a unique thought. Let me tell you what I want to talk about today. And I realize I'm going to speak in generalities, but that's kind of the fun. And I say, you know, all this I say with the caveat that there are many exceptions to the rule, okay?
All right.
I'm a great admirer of an anthropologist named Dr. Helen Fisher. I say that because I'm going to attribute most of what I say to her, and anybody who wants to follow up on what I'm saying can get one of her books.
Ellen Fisher.
Helen Fisher.
Helen Fisher, okay.
Helen Fisher, Dr.
Helen Fisher. She's an anthropologist. All right, go ahead.
And she talks about the difference between the way men and women communicate in the workplace. You know, we had Mars and Venus and that a few years ago, which was very valuable because in my business, I think relationships are at the core of everything.
Absolutely.
At the core of successful personal relationship and a successful business. But Helen Fisher talked about the difference in the way men and women communicate and how that translates into the workforce. And let me just take 1 minute to tell you, number one, this is not going to be any man bashing, okay?
Thank you.
This is going to be about the differences and the value in the
Viva la difference.
Yes, that's right. So let me just, for a second, read to you my list of about women, all right?
All right.
Women have a talent with words, a capacity to read gestures and postures and facial expressions and other nonverbal cues.
Mm-hmm.
They have emotional sensitivity, empathy, excellent senses of touch, taste, smell, hearing, patience, ability to multitask. We're going to get back to that. A broad contextual view of an issue. Now, that's called web thinking, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. A penchant for long-term planning, a gift for networking and negotiating, a preference for cooperating, reaching consensus, and leading via egalitarian teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just also add that men, who are wonderful creatures, have a superb... Have a superb understanding of spatial relations, a talent for solving complex mechanical problems, an ability to rivet focus their attention, and a gift for controlling many of their emotions. Very handy stuff, all right? So, but when you take that and you translate that into the workforce...
How come your list was longer than my list? Don't think I didn't notice that.
Well, you know, I have a confession to make. I give a lot of speeches to women's groups. But what we're seeing here and what we're talking about is that really in the 21st century, in our economic community, there is an appreciation or a need for the natural talents of women.
And, I agree.
And you know, but it comes with a cost because there are still most leaders, most CEOs are still men.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, women think contextually and holistically. And men, by the way, think that sometimes is frivolous and unnecessary.
Sometimes it is.
And sometimes it is. But sometimes it's web thinking.
There's no question in my mind that sometimes it is. And there's sometimes when men... When it isn't, and men need to realize that shouldn't be the case every time.
Well, and that's right. And women need to realize that they can't just go off on a tangent because their web thinking took them back to what the baby did last night.
Right.
And so, you know, again, I'm talking in big generalities here. And lots of exceptions because I know plenty of men who are great holistic thinkers. But, you know, just for general purposes, for the fun of the morning, okay?
That's right.
Women like to integrate a lot of details as they make decisions. That means they're looking around the room, checking out the color of the wall, looking at body language.
Sometimes, could it be too much detail?
sometimes, you know what, that's what
does
a man
it get,
says.
Does the detail get in the way sometimes?
Now, I mean, that's
once
what
you
a man says.
See, this is, well, no, I've heard women say this too, Paula. Sometimes, you know, once, one of the things guys do is when we think we have enough information, we pull the trigger. Now, mm-hmm. sometimes we don't have as much information as we should have gotten, and we pull the trigger too soon. Mm-hmm. I think women have the opposite problem.
I think that's what men think, and many women do.
Oh, so it's just, that's not the case. That's what we think. Is that right?
I'm glad I know you well, and I hope your listeners
everybody,
understand.
I think everybody knows how much I love you, Paula. Go
and
ahead.
That we're just having some fun.
Go ahead. No, but we're having fun, but there are serious issues here. Go ahead.
There are serious issues, but it gets in the way of women because there's this thing that everyone has talked about, and you've talked about
what
it.
What gets in the way of women?
This some of these traits.
Yeah.
Because think about boardrooms. Now here, you know, most boardrooms, executive, you know, big. Now we're talking about big business, but this can relate to small business. And I've got a dog barking.
That's so, we call that ambiance around here.
All right, we have the ambiance going, okay. And I'll have to put you on hold or something if she keeps.
Go ahead.
But in a boardroom, there are more men than women, and yet we know for a fact that there are studies after studies that show that boards that have more than two women, or at least two women, perform better. Financially,
mm-hmm.
but the businesses perform better financially. But you know what? Why that has one of the reasons that hasn't happened, and I heard this direct from many, many CEOs. Women ask too many questions.
Yeah.
The men say, you know what? We need to get on. The woman says, I'm not afraid. I don't understand this. I want to talk more about it. I want to expand it.
Mm-hmm.
Men are very task oriented, very results oriented.
Well, we want to solve this thing. Get it off the plate.
Exactly.
Yeah, and women still want to deal with, you know, and I've been thinking a lot about this, Paula, over the years, and I have come up with one thing that I've been expressing about this, and that is that men stipulate things. If two men are talking to each other, and they have a thought, and they know the other one knows the same thing, they don't have to talk about that. They can stipulate that that's understood. Women don't stipulate that as much.
Well, that's because they want consensus.
Exactly. And I think, but my point is, sometimes I think that gets in the way. At least it creates problems among the sexes.
Well, it does create problems among the sexes. That's different than getting in the way.
Yeah,
because sometimes the process has, if you're going to have the influence of women and the talents of women, you've sometimes just got to let them process it through.
Yeah. hold on to that thought. We're having a great time here with our good friend Paula Lovell. We're trying to solve this issue. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. I shouldn't say solve. We're trying to deal with this because women business owners are the fastest growing segment of the marketplace right now. 20 after, right back with Paula Lovell. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. She was hanging on Johnny. Little Joe Cocker bringing us back. Welcome back to 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of good stuff there. I hope you'll check it out. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out the poll question on the homepage, which is where you will find the question about what should the government do about the tax cuts. Should they extend them after this year, or should they abolish them? Should they allow them to lapse, I should say? And the voting is going pretty heavily in one way over the other. So check it out. And when you put your answer in, you'll be able to see how the voting is going. We're having a great visit with Paula Lovell. She's the president of Lovell Communications in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Lovell.com, right, Paula?
That's it.
They can find out all the things you do there for small business, for your small business clients. And I know you work with people all over the country.
I do. And, you know, on our website, we've got blogs about you know, tips for small business. We have blogs, white papers. We have a newsletter. Anybody wants to sign up, we have just what I think is an excellent newsletter about the industry.
So check it out, folks. And Paula, we're talking about the difference between men and women, the way they communicate, the way they process things. And one of the things that we know is men are linear thinkers,
right.
And women. And what's the comparable term for women?
Well, women
consensus?
Contextual or web thinking.
Web thinking. Men are linear thinkers, meaning we see point A, we're looking for point B.
Exactly.
Women are contextual or web thinkers, and they're thinking, okay, how many pieces of input do I need to get to come to a solution?
You got it. You got this stuff, Jim. Are you sure you're not?
This isn't my first goat roping, Paula. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's fascinating, and we talked in the break about how it gets, you know, we know this, a lot of us know this, but how does it get in the way of our businesses?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, as women sit around and process think, men get impatient, and they're, because women are looking at this multi-directional path,
mm-hmm.
and all the different options to an answer. And men are then thinking, well, she's got tunnel, they think men have tunnel vision because,
right.
because they're just going
and we just don't understand all the issues.
That's right.
Or don't care.
Right. And so then a little friction gets going, a little frustration. Men may say, well, golly, you know, she's so ambiguous. And they get intolerant. They get mm-hmm. impatient. And women do the same thing. They think, well, he's not taking in all the facts.
He's dictatorial.
So it creates friction in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that I know we all know because we've read it for years is that sometimes when women ask a question, they don't really want the answer right then. They want to discuss what the options are, and
right.
men being, you know, the great white warrior, the
That's
man
right.
wants to step in there and say, I got a solution
solve this
for
problem.
You. I've got it. Here we go. And the woman thinks, well, you know, you're dismissing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not hashing it out. I need to hash it out.
Right.
And that doesn't just happen at home. That happens in the workplace every day.
Mm-hmm. So how do we solve that? But there's a conflict there. How do we solve that conflict? Because on any given day, either party is correct.
Well, you're exactly right, and I think the way we
solve
it is...
Sometimes it is time to move on.
Well, it is, and I think that the more we become aware of these differences, the more we can recognize them in each other and ourselves and say, I suppose you think I'm off on a tangent here, but let me tell you why I'm going
mm-hmm.
this direction. And the man says, you know, I understand that why you're going that way, but, you know, our deadline is 2:30, and it's 2:15, and we're going to move on. And you know, leaders and people who run small businesses are smart folks. They're going to recognize it.
When the women in my company get together, they have their meetings, and they don't tell me about when they're meeting. Mm-hmm. And then they invite me in at the end and net it out for me.
Now, you see, they figured you out.
Exactly. No, it works like a charm. Well, you
right,
know,
but you just want the facts.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, here's the thing, and I've thought about this a lot too, Paula. Men have this innate desire to fix things, to solve the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Women are less likely to be thinking about how to solve the problem as they are about how to manage the problem.
Well, and
sometimes, and my point is, sometimes one or the other is right, sometimes one or the other is wrong.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I have to say that I do believe that it would be better if women would learn how to, instead of managing too many problems, fix some of them, get them off their plate.
Oh, you're such a man.
Well,
you know, well, it's not just
managing. I'm filling my role here.
Well, let me tell you, it's not just managing the problem. It's looking at the options, and it is getting consensus. And that's back to what we started about, why women make good leaders. Because in this era, consensus is a lot more important than it was 100 years ago when they were starting business.
And especially with the younger generations coming along.
Exactly. So this is not just related to men and women. This is also age-related. Younger people, frankly, want more consensus. They want to be more involved.
Men and women.
Men and women. They don't respond well to a leader who just is a dictator.
Yeah.
Whereas we were, you know, 100 years ago, and there were plenty of businesses then, and we were used to dictators, and everything was patriarchal, and it was well accepted. And
I didn't spend 15 years in the military for nothing either, by the way.
Well, that's right. And you probably...
It comes through, too, doesn't it?
Well, it comes through, and, you know, thank God. It's so funny. I do give the speech, and I think, you know, in addition to all the strength of men, I mean, thank God, all those 18-year-old boys felt the way they felt, and
mm-hmm.
or things would be different around here. And one of the other things I want to talk about quickly is nodding.
You
know about
seconds.
Nodding?
Yeah.
Nodding, you know, when you're talking to a colleague in your business and the woman is nodding, if
right.
a man's talking to her, he thinks she's agreeing with him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It just means I hear you, I understand you, I'm taking it in. But a man nods, and it means I agree. So
yeah.
you get into a problem. You say to a woman, okay, here, I want this. The woman's nodding, and she walks off and doesn't do it because she was just listening and assessing and taking it in.
Right. Exactly. Well, and as we wrap things up, Paula, usually my wife looks at me and says, where did you go?
Oh, checking out.
When I'm not nodding, she says, where did you go? Is the sky? What color is the sky in your world now?
Exactly.
Hey, Paula, yeah. Thanks for being here. Good job today. Thanks for not getting him into too much trouble. Paula Lovell, ladies and gentlemen, that's Lovell.com. Check out their website. We'll have Paula back another day real soon. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.